Egzamin maturalny z języka angielskiego. Poziom rozszerzony. Usłyszysz dwukrotnie teksty do zadań od pierwszego do trzeciego. Przed wysłuchaniem każdego tekstu usłyszysz dźwięk. W nagraniu przewidziane są przerwy na zapoznanie się z poleceniami oraz treścią zadań sygnalizowane dźwiękiem. Rozwiązuj poszczególne zadania w trakcie słuchania nagrań oraz w czasie przerw po ich wysłuchaniu. Zadanie pierwsze. Przeczytaj polecenie i zapoznaj się z treścią zadania.
One. You look so elegant. Is this what you wear to work?
Well, most of the time. I currently work in a call centre and we have formal office regulations on dress code. My team leader is so strict that he sends us home to change, as if we were naughty children.
What about other leaders?
They let their staff wear jeans and t-shirts. That makes me mad, especially that I can't see the point of these regulations. To my mind, you should dress appropriately to the situation. In a smart work environment where you meet customers, elegant clothes should be mandatory. But in a call centre, it doesn't really matter what you wear.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
You look so elegant. Is this what you wear to work?
Well, most of the time. I currently work in a call centre and we have formal office regulations on dress code. My team leader is so strict that he sends us home to change, as if we were naughty children.
What about other leaders?
They let their staff wear jeans and t-shirts. That makes me mad, especially that I can't see the point of these regulations. To my mind, you should dress appropriately to the situation. In a smart work environment where you meet customers, elegant clothes should be mandatory, but in a call centre, it doesn't really matter what you wear.
Two. Last week, Pillsbury awarded $1 million to Christina Preston, whose pumpkin dessert earned the grand prize in the company's cooking contest. I've invited Christina to share her experiences with us. Also, joining us today is the culinary historian Laura Field, who's written extensively about the evolution of food contests. Finally, we'll hear from the esteemed chef, Jeffrey Hike. He'll comment on judging cooking competitions and tell us how to differentiate between a merely good dessert and a truly inspiring one. And then the three of them will be answering questions from the audience and from our viewers.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
Last week, Pillsbury awarded $1 million to Christina Preston, whose pumpkin dessert earned the grand prize in the company's cooking contest. I've invited Christina to share her experiences with us. Also, joining us today is the culinary historian Laura Field, who's written extensively about the evolution of food contests. Finally, we'll hear from the esteemed chef, Jeffrey Hike. He'll comment on judging cooking competitions and tell us how to differentiate between a merely good dessert and a truly inspiring one. And then the three of them will be answering questions from the audience and from our viewers. Three.
You may arrive in the UK thinking you know all about British people. But do the stereotypes hold true? One of them refers to Brits as football hooligans. Now let me dispel this myth once and for all. There's no denying that Brits invented the game. We know from history that in ancient and medieval times, sports events were sometimes held to settle disagreements. With its seemingly bizarre tribal loyalties, the modern British game could be said to express similar needs. Of course, fans are visible and vocal, but only a tiny minority have fights. To my mind, this sport rather brings supporters together, regardless of whether they celebrate victory or have to accept defeat. The results of a survey by the Social Issues Research Centre show that English fans are most commonly associated with violence because of the amount of media attention devoted to it. This is where the stereotype comes from.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
You may arrive in the UK thinking you know all about British people. But do the stereotypes hold true? One of them refers to Brits as football hooligans. Now let me dispel this myth once and for all. There's no denying that Brits invented the game. We know from history that in ancient and medieval times, sports events were sometimes held to settle disagreements. With its seemingly bizarre tribal loyalties, the modern British game could be said to express similar needs. Of course, fans are visible and vocal, but only a tiny minority have fights. To my mind, this sport rather brings supporters together, regardless of whether they celebrate victory or have to accept defeat. The results of a survey by the Social Issues Research Centre show that English fans are most commonly associated with violence because of the amount of media attention devoted to it. This is where the stereotype comes from.
Zadanie drugie. Przeczytaj polecenie i zapoznaj się z treścią zadania.
One. I have been doing voluntary work in an animal shelter here in Dublin, and it is the most rewarding job anyone could ever wish for. However, it is really frustrating that so many animals have to live in shelters instead of having a safe home. Another problem is that people charged with the ill treatment of animals are often given community service or pay very small fines. It's no wonder they do it again. It's about time the law was revised and more severe punishments were introduced. Our government should finally do something to encourage responsible pet ownership. Two.
I'm happy to say our shelter has a couple of special guests. Together with the Born Free Foundation, we have provided a home for two lion cubs. They will stay here for at least 3 months. The cubs were rescued from Romania, and we are going to look after them throughout the quarantine process, as we are currently the only centre in town with the facilities to deal with the cubs. The foundation hopes to collect enough money to send them to a reserve in South Africa as soon as possible.
Three. There are two things that are always in short supply at animal shelters: manpower and money. So the two best ways you can help are by volunteering your time or making a donation. If you really love animals, the first option will be much more rewarding. Many animals that have been brought to a shelter are there because they were mistreated or kept in awful conditions. That's why they need special attention and care. Taking them for a walk or playing with them in a recently opened exercise area would make them happy beyond measure. Four.
With more than 125 years of service to animals on the island, the Guernsey Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals has announced plans to renovate part of its animal shelter headquarters in St Andrews. The development will involve the reconstruction of two buildings so that they will conform to the upcoming changes in animal welfare law, which will become effective this September. When the work is completed, the shelter will have a building that's up to the highest standards. The work is planned to finish next year and is estimated to cost £1.8 million. The Society hopes to obtain a substantial amount of the money through fundraising.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
1. I have been doing voluntary work in an animal shelter here in Dublin, and it is the most rewarding job anyone could ever wish for. However, it is really frustrating that so many animals have to live in shelters instead of having a safe home. Another problem is that people charged with the ill treatment of animals are often given community service or pay very small fines. It's no wonder they do it again. It's about time the law was revised and more severe punishments were introduced. Our government should finally do something to encourage responsible pet ownership. 2.
I'm happy to say our shelter has a couple of special guests. Together with the Born Free Foundation, we have provided a home for two lion cubs. They will stay here for at least 3 months. The cubs were rescued from Romania, and we are going to look after them throughout the quarantine process, as we are currently the only centre in town with the facilities to deal with the cubs. The foundation hopes to collect enough money to send them to a reserve in South Africa as soon as possible.
3. There are two things that are always in short supply at animal shelters: manpower and money. So the two best ways you can help are by volunteering your time or making a donation. If you really love animals, the first option will be much more rewarding. Many animals that have been brought to a shelter are there because they were mistreated or kept in awful conditions. That's why they need special attention and care. Taking them for a walk or playing with them in a recently opened exercise area would make them happy beyond measure. 4.
With more than 125 years of service to animals on the island, the Guernsey Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals has announced plans to renovate part of its animal shelter headquarters in St Andrews. The development will involve the reconstruction of two buildings so that they will conform to the upcoming changes in animal welfare law, which will become effective this September. When the work is completed, the shelter will have a building that's up to the highest standards. The work is planned to finish next year and is estimated to cost £1.8 million. The Society hopes to obtain a substantial amount of the money through fundraising.
Zadanie trzecie. Przeczytaj polecenie i zapoznaj się z treścią zadania.
In 2010, a program entitled Did We Really Land on the Moon? Was broadcast on television. Professor Thomas Jackson thinks it's time someone spoke out on this topic. He's with us today. Professor Jackson, welcome.
Good morning.
The program in question tried to prove that NASA faked the photos of the first moon landing in 1969. It was said, among other things, that the astronauts wouldn't have survived in the heat of the moon's day. How will you comment on that?
The spacesuits were specially designed. Firstly, they were white because we know that this colour reflects radiation the most, thereby minimising the amount absorbed. Secondly, each spacesuit was equipped with a cooling system. It used water which circulated through special tubes in the spacesuit and absorbed excess heat from the astronaut's body. In this way, the astronauts' bodies never got overheated.
There is a well-known photograph of the astronaut John Young saluting the American flag. The problem is that he's standing on the surface of the moon in direct sunlight, but he casts no shadow.
People who question the moon landing often point to this photo as evidence of fraud. However, it's unreasonable. Young's shadow is clearly visible on the ground below him and to the right. Why isn't his shadow attached to his body? The answer is simple. Young was leaping, and when the shutter was released, he was elevated 2 feet above the ground.
Some people claim that the rocks supposedly collected by the Apollo astronauts on the moon were actually manufactured by NASA in a laboratory on Earth.
This is utter nonsense. The rocks are without doubt of authentic origin. We have 25 samples of lunar rocks that have fallen to Earth as meteorites, and the tests have shown the Apollo moon rocks and the meteorites all come from the moon. Besides, Earth rocks are younger than the moon rocks collected on the Apollo mission. The moon rocks have been determined to be about 4 billion years old. Finally, the moon rocks have characteristics that clearly distinguish them from terrestrial or artificial rocks. Taking all this into account, the moon rocks couldn't have been found anywhere else but on the moon.
If NASA was able to land men on the moon with such great success, why were there no plans to return? And why didn't the Russians send anyone?
Despite the apparent ease with which NASA sent six crews to the moon between 1969 and 1972, travelling there was difficult, dangerous, and very expensive. And once they had landed, there was no point in continuing the quest, even more so for the Soviet Union, that failed to reach the moon before the Americans. Expenses or the risks involved would not have stopped the Soviets, but it was the first place that counted in this race. Once the US had accomplished their mission, the Soviets' reason for going to the moon was eliminated.
Thank you, Professor Jackson, for talking to us.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
In 2010, a program entitled Did We Really Land on the Moon? Was broadcast on television. Professor Thomas Jackson thinks it's time someone spoke out on this topic. He's with us today. Professor Jackson, welcome.
Good morning.
The program in question tried to prove that NASA faked the photos of the first moon landing in 1969. It was said, among other things, that the astronauts wouldn't have survived in the heat of the moon's day. How will you comment on that?
The spacesuits were specially designed. Firstly, they were white because we know that this colour reflects radiation the most, thereby minimising the amount absorbed. Secondly, each spacesuit was equipped with a cooling system. It used water which circulated through special tubes in the spacesuit and absorbed excess heat from the astronaut's body. In this way, the astronauts' bodies never got overheated.
There is a well-known photograph of the astronaut John Young saluting the American flag. The problem is that he's standing on the surface of the moon in direct sunlight, but he casts no shadow.
People who question the moon landing often point to this photo as evidence of fraud. However, it's unreasonable. Young's shadow is clearly visible on the ground below him and to the right. Why isn't his shadow attached to his body? The answer is simple. Young was leaping, and when the shutter was released, he was elevated 2 feet above the ground.
Some people claim that the rocks supposedly collected by the Apollo astronauts on the moon were actually manufactured by NASA in a laboratory on Earth.
This is utter nonsense. The rocks are without doubt of authentic origin. We have 25 samples of lunar rocks that have fallen to Earth as meteorites, and the tests have shown the Apollo moon rocks and the meteorites all come from the moon. Besides, Earth rocks are younger than the moon rocks collected on the Apollo mission. The moon rocks have been determined to be about 4 billion years old. Finally, the moon rocks have characteristics that clearly distinguish them from terrestrial or artificial rocks. Taking all this into account, the moon rocks couldn't have been found anywhere else but on the moon.
If NASA was able to land men on the moon with such great success, why were there no plans to return? And why didn't the Russians send anyone?
Despite the apparent ease with which NASA sent six crews to the moon between 1969 and 1972, travelling there was difficult, dangerous, and very expensive. And once they had landed, there was no point in continuing the quest, even more so for the Soviet Union that failed to reach the moon before the Americans. Expenses or the risks involved would not have stopped the Soviets, but it was the first place that counted in this race. Once the US had accomplished their mission, the Soviets' reason for going to the moon was eliminated.
Thank you, Professor Jackson, for talking to us.
Czas przeznaczony na tę część egzaminu minął.